stage.
An addict named Brian. And I first want to thank God for his unmerited gift called grace. I thank God for his mercy. And foremost, I just really thank him for his love, because it didn't necessarily have to turn out the way that it did. I want to thank this committee for inviting me to come and be a part of this convention experience. And I was just blown away by the number of people who had 20 years or more, our predecessors, the one who set the stage for us to even be able to come to a place like this. I know when they look out and see this large crowd, it probably blows their minds to how much Narcotics Anonymous has grown in the years that they've been here. I just want to like give them a little hand clap because I'm appreciative of them. If you are looking at the screens and are wondering why I'm squinting, it's because those lights are so bright in my eyes that I could barely see anybody. But I'm going to try to work with it because they wanted to put me under a spotlight. And I don't mind being under the spotlight today because of who I serve. And my life can be looked at any time because God has truly blessed me. Sometimes being human and sometimes being an addict, though, you go through some things and you hear some stuff. And sometimes when you come to convention gatherings, people always want to know who the speaker is. And sometimes when people don't know that you are the speaker, and you hear some of the things that they say, it sometimes discourages you, and sometimes like you start to battle within yourself and ask yourself, is this worth doing? But I thank God that he allows me to just like fight through that, because I know that for every one doubter, there are 10 who love me. And the reality of it is, when I woke up this morning, my number one objective was not to please man. My number one objective was to please him. And if you are connected to him, then I'll please you. You know, because sometimes people say, oh, I heard him before. No, you ain't heard me lately. God has done some wonderful things in my life since I've been here. I want to give a shout out to all of the newcomers. 30 days or less, I come here to talk to you. I really ain't here to talk to somebody that got a cute outfit on. I really ain't here to talk to somebody who think they somewhat beyond the process of the program. I'm here to talk to somebody who don't know if they're going to use today or tomorrow. Sometimes we get in conventions and we forget where we came from. The third tradition says that if a newcomer is to feel like they belong, they need to hear something they can identify with. They need to know that you used to use drugs. You go to some places and you wonder, have you ever used drugs? The speakers ain't even talking about where they come from no more. It's all about transformation, but where did you transform from? The newcomer need to know that I was a bum. The newcomer need to know that I was homeless. The newcomer need to know that when I went to jail, that was like going to heaven, because the condition that I was in before going to jail was hell. They need to know that I wore the same drawers for an extended period of time. I ain't count how many days I wore my drawers. It was just an extended period of time. I don't know how y'all got on down here, but in North Philly, where I'm from, we got on. I was a soldier out there in active addiction, and I got clean when I was 24 years old. And sometimes people hate when you say you got clean at a young age, like you were supposed to stay out there like they did for 30 or 40 years. You can't smoke crack cocaine for 30 or 40 years. Your ass will evaporate. So I ain't had to stay out there that long, but it was long enough to reach dereliction, self-abandonment, just roll, you ever roll out on yourself? Degradation, isolation, hopelessness, powerlessness, uselessness. In any other word that you can add less to, that's what I ended up as. And I came up in this program at 24 years old. Didn't have a clue. Was taken straight from the prison in a prison van to a rehab because of my own juice. I didn't think I had a problem, nor did I think I need help. So the penal system in Philadelphia, after being rescued by the Philadelphia Police Department for the fourth time, decided that maybe you need to do something about this problem that you have, because you are a very intelligent young black man and we don't want you to be a statistic. See, God works in ways that we don't even recognize sometimes, because we think that we are going through something when actually he's bringing us out of something, and he'll use whatever mechanism that he can to get our attention. So yeah, when I was arrested, there was a sense of happiness. I knew that I was going to eat three times a day. I knew that I was going to have a place to sleep with a roof over the top of it, because at the end of the road, the spots that I was sleeping in didn't have no roofs, didn't have no doors, didn't have no windows. And in the wintertime, I had to like put the Philadelphia Inquirer, which is the newspaper, over me to cover me, to keep me warm. So jail was like a haven. I was happy the last time they moved my door out of the way. They didn't have to kick it in because it was already broke. So all they had to do was just move it and just come on in. And they said they was looking for me, and they showed me a picture. And I was so happy and grateful that somebody came to rescue me. I said, that's me. 3 years ago when they asked me the same thing, that ain't me. But it says when at the end of the road. See, we got too many people that skip up here in the beginning of the road. Or they skip up here in the middle of the road. When at the end of the road, don't hate on people who get here and stay here. Sometimes you feel bad when you go to a meeting and everybody done relapsed and you scared to share that you've been here and stayed here. The newcomer who just came down here, you need to know that you ain't never, ever, ever, ever gotta use again a day in your life. Say, we have never seen anyone who works the Narcotics Anonymous program relapse. That's an important piece. Work the program. Literature says y'all last year's dream was last year's drink
lost dreams we awaken. The literature says when the drugs go, and the addict begins to work the program. Let's stop right there, because some people, the drugs just go, and they never begin to work the program. Then they wonder why wonderful things ain't happening. Then they wonder why lost dreams ain't reawakening. And then they wonder why new possibilities are not arising, because you just stopped using drugs. We got too many people in here put down the dope, still being a fiend, and then wonder why they catching hell clean. And then we have to have the courage as predecessors to let people know that no, it ain't cool to be trifling. Ain't nothing cool about having four women. Ain't nothing cool about having five and six men. Ain't nothing cool about still stealing off your job. Ain't nothing cool about trying to con the system. This is a program that talks about an active change of ideas and attitudes, which brings about a change in your behavior. But we clap for trifleness. We clap for drama. This ain't a program of drama. This is a life-giving, life-sustaining, powerful manifestation of God's love. This ain't nothing about His love, His glory He just bestowed upon us. Do you know how much of a gift it is just to wake up in the morning and not have the obsession to use drugs? But here with a hit, when you begin to work the program, you'll lose the obsession to use other stuff too. Because here, check it out. The book says, that's the wrong book. I'm not gonna be like William Williams up here cracking up. He is falling out. In time, through recovery, our dreams come true. We don't mean that we necessarily become rich or famous. However, by realizing the will of our higher power, dreams do come true in recovery. Now, dreams come true when I recognize the will of my higher power. Now, we got so many people who take steps and claim that they don't know what God's will is. Well, we see that regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives, we can be content. We can be happy and fulfilled. Stop there. Now, the people who put this literature together, you can tell that it was divinely ordered by God. Because in this particular sentence, they could have just stopped at, we can be happy. And we got too many people searching for happiness. And happiness is predicated on the fact if something external or outside of you is going in your favor. Now, if it's not in your favor, you're not happy. So that's why they put the word and fulfilled. Because when you're fulfilled, that's different than happiness. Because all hell could be breaking you loose in your life and you still all right. With or without money, with or without a partner, with or without the approval of others, we begun to see that God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. That is what God's will is for us. So if I'm living in that, then all my dreams will come true. But I have to wake up first. See, because dreams come to somebody who sleeps. But when you wake up, you got to have vision. Then you have to go after your vision. Because you can dream all you want to do. But if you don't get up and put forth the effort to go after your dream, then you're just a dreamer. We are visionaries in Narcotics Anonymous. We start to see things. We start to go after things. And that's why in this process, one of the things that bothered me. Can I tell y'all? You know, when God
talks to you. Because some people say, what do you mean God talked to you? He don't talk to me because you don't talk to him. You can start to hear him vividly as you communicate with him. Not only will you hear him, you start to recognize his voice. And I was sharing one time up in Trenton that, like, if a good friend of mine who calls me all the time and I recognize his voice, when he calls me, I don't have to ask, who is this? Because I already know who it is. But if it's somebody who I haven't heard from in a while, haven't communicated with in a while, when they call my house and they get to talking, the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, who is this? Now, this is a process and a program that teaches us to stop having a who is this relationship with God and just have a relationship with God that we know who he is soon as he calls. Now, when he starts to call some of us and we start to do some things, people start to think religion. But this is a program of spirituality, and this is a program of relationship. So when you start to make moves in your life, they have blessing haters, dream haters, hater haters. They just hate for no reason at all because you're going after your dreams. Because it says wonderful things start to happen. I was clean my first 10 years just off of God's grace. My behaviors were not conducive to that of a recovering addict. I spoke all over the country. Listen to what I'm saying. I was speaking everywhere, but my living did not match up with my speaking. It's real easy to come in here, pick up this literature, learn the lingo, because the first thing we do is go on a cliche run. When you ask somebody how they doing when they first get in, just for the day, through the grace of God, I'm clean, God's will not mine be done, I'm too blessed to be, nigga, how you doing? I ain't ask you all that. So we learn all the language. Then we take some steps. Then we get a little message. And somebody asks us to come speak. And then my recovery started to become based on where I spoke. And my recovery became based on people coming up to me telling me how many tapes of mine they have. And I started getting juice, and I started like reading my own press clippings. Nobody had to put me nowhere. I was putting myself somewhere where I wasn't at. And I was just sharing. And everybody was like, man, you kicked it. But you know what it feels like when you go home, when ain't nobody around. When ain't nobody clapping. When ain't nobody saying, share that, boy. And you all by yourself. And God just happens to check in with you. And he asks you, when are you going to stop being phony? When are you going to stop being a hypocrite? When are you going to stop living clean? When are you going to stop sharing clean and living dirty? When are you really going to take a third step, chump? When are you really going to make this decision and stick by it? When are you really going to say, God, you got it, whatever it is. I turn my will over. I turn my life over. I'm tired. You get that way clean. That's why the literature says, after coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. It ain't say before. After, no drugs, sick people. And I was so sick, and I wanted so much attention, and I wanted so much love, and I thought I was so undeserving of it. And God give me a bless me to be able to open my mouth and say some things and touch some people. I started to use his gift the wrong way. Now, some people, they don't like that, you know, because, you know, they be sharing. But I'm from Philly. And it's saying, in order to stay clean, you got to come clean. I ain't come down here just to be sharing for y'all. I got to get some dirt off my shoulder. So I'm sharing and I'm speaking. And he say, when you gonna stop being phony? You're still sleeping with newcomers. You're still picking them girls up off the corner. Oh, no, not when I first got clean. Not 1 year, not 2 years, not 3 years, not 4 years, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Picking them up. The same ones we talk about in here, we talk about helping a still suffering addict, and I'm out there contributing to someone's death because I can't get through a feeling. Then we use that excuse from back in the day, I'm a freak and I just can't help myself. Or the famous addict anthem, I ain't there yet. And I start finding myself decaying on the inside because I'm trying to fill a void with 10 years clean that I should have filled with 2 years clean when I took the first second step. So I'm riding around and picking girls up off the corner and I'm making meetings and I'm really not there to get a message because I am the message. Hear that. Sometimes we get so sick, we think that if we ain't at the meeting contributing our little 5 or 10 minutes of say-so, then the meeting was no good. So I start going to meetings. And the speaker be sharing. And he be, you know, all right. Because he ain't the message. I am. So when he finished, I got to wait till about 5 or 6 people share from the floor. Because I got to set up my piece. Because I done spotted the one that I want to see tonight. She raised her hand for 30 days. She seemed to be like an easy victim. So if I share some good spiritual stuff, I might be able to pull this one tonight, because when your self-esteem is low, you want to find somebody whose self-esteem is lower than yours to lift yours up. So I'm in the meetings and I'm sharing like that. After I finish sharing, everybody that shares from the floor talking about, like Brian said, and Brian said, and Brian said. Now, 30-day girl just keep hearing Brian, and there's a subliminal message being sent. Brian is the one that you need to get with. He has that spiritual juice that you need. Destroying myself in the process of recovery. No dreams, no nothing. Just selfed up and had what I call a counterfeit 12-step experience. Something that appears real. People who practice real steps, people who live real steps, do not act out on the same behaviors as often as they used to act out on them before they took steps. Now, I say as often because none of us are perfect. But I shouldn't be doing the same thing over and over and over again, then justifying it by saying I got character defects and shortcomings. The sixth step says that we can no longer blame our drug uses or our ignorance for our irresponsibility. That's what the book say. So God just start talking to me. And when he start talking to you, you just want to get him out your ear, because his program and my program don't coincide with each other. But he's saying, listen, there is something in you that if you just let me tap into it, then I can teach you how to maximize the gift that I've given you. So let me get up in there, because one thing, Brian, you cuss too much. You cuss every other word. I cuss one time a day. I said ass. I remember that. I will not cuss again. I am totally aware of my language, as before I wasn't. That's for the people who said they heard him before. You heard the old stuff. I'm going to bring to you the new stuff. He said, I want you to stop doing that. You sound nasty. You sound trifling. And how can you use God in one sentence and MF in the next? This is what he said to me. He don't have to say that to you. He's saying, I need you to do something for me. But we got to straighten some things out. Hey, matter of fact, you ain't going to have no women. I ain't been in a relationship in 7 years. I ain't say I've been abstinent. But it's been a long time. It's been a long time. And I was in a meeting yesterday, and somebody, no, not today, and they were sharing about being single and being happy. One thing is, when you roll with him and you just hang out with him, there is some comfort that you get from him that you just can't get from somebody else. See, I like leaving my house, because when I leave, everybody left. When I get home, everybody home. The soda that I left in my refrigerator that was half full when I left, when I get back there tomorrow, will still be there. There is something special about just being able to wash your dishes butt naked and not worried about nobody coming in on you. There's just something special just about praising God in your house without worrying about somebody saying that you look crazy. There's something about just singing in the mirror with a comb at 41 years old that just make you feel young again. And it's just something special that you don't have to have all that other added pressure that comes along with being with somebody that you really don't want to be with. I'd rather be happy by myself than miserable with somebody else. And we got too many people in what I call tolerationships as opposed to relationships. You just tolerating a nigga. I love being in my own company. And sometimes where I'm from, they say you can't be happy being by yourself. I say, yeah, probably wouldn't be happy being by myself. But since I ain't by myself, I'm happy. Listen, how can a person with a fractured personality get with another person with a fractured personality without having the pieces come together first? No, somebody said yesterday the topic was, is it desperation or love? I'm not in a relationship, one, because I'm not desperate, and two, because I know the true meaning of love. And at this particular time in my life, I just don't have the time to invest in. Because I believe when you get in a relationship with somebody, you should invest all that you have. I don't play with that. Somebody say 50-50. If you want a 50-50 relationship, you want a half-ass relationship. A relationship is you bring 100 to the table, and I bring 100 to the table. Because if you bring in 50, where's the other 50? Dreams do come true. All I ever wanted was to be all right with myself. I used drugs a lot of years because I just didn't like myself. And you get here and it's like you start to love yourself. You start to believe in yourself. And you start to believe in the power of God and what he can do. And then people get mad when you take that 11th step to another level. When you asked me to seek through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact. And then at 12 years clean, I was sitting on the side of my bed and I was asking myself, now what? I got 2 college degrees. I got a relationship with God as I understand Him. I got a nice job, my own spot, nice car, but now what? I got a lot of tapes, I got a lot of CDs, I got a lot of clothes, I got a lot of jewelry, but now what? He said, I just want you to come a little closer. We're going to have to like get you to see that all your stuff is not going to get you the peace that you're really seeking. Because it's a messed up thing being dressed up and feeling like a bum. It's a messed up thing to think you all that and you ain't none of that. And then it's really messed up when you buy all that nice stuff to come in here to impress unimpressionable people. We don't really care what you got on. Yeah, that looked nice, but how's your spirit? How's your heart? Can you help me today? Did you treat somebody nice today? Did you hug somebody today? Did you run up to a newcomer to help them out today? Did you give what you had that you thought was your last to somebody else because you know God is going to bless you plentifully if you just give? Because some people don't understand the divine law of reciprocity. It's better to give than receive. Somebody will say that's religion. The basic text says that in order to keep what we have to give it away. So now what that's called is a paradoxical statement. How can I get and keep if I give? Because the more you give, the more you receive. And the newcomer that you give it back to may be the newcomer that you need 3 years down the line to give what you gave them back to you when you find yourself in the same condition that you was in at one time. Funny how tables turn in recovery. Same people you step on the way up are the same people that you're going to see on your way down. And I weigh 310 pounds. My fall is going to be hard. I need as many people as I possibly can to catch me. So I want to make friends as I journey along this way. I don't want no enemies. I want to just keep giving. God, you say give, I'm going to just keep giving. He say, now I want you to do something else for me. Go to school for what I want you to go to school for. See, I'm going to school. I got my associate's in behavioral health. And I got my bachelor's degree in behavioral health. And he said, I want you to do something else. Now, I want to preference this by saying that I was a person that hated God. He took my mother at 12. He took my father at 10. I lost 2 grandparents in between 10 and 12. Me and God didn't have nothing to talk about. How can you take 4 of the most vital members of a child's life? Then when I got here, one thing you understand about destination and God predestined in your life, you know that He sets things up for a reason. When I got here, He removed every obstacle and excuse that I would have to use drugs. I can't say if my mother died, I used. She already gone. I can't say if my grandfather died. He set things up perfectly for me, but I didn't understand it as a child. So I'm mad at God. Now here it is, after I get these other degrees, He said, I want you to go to a biblical university. Wait a minute, God, you trying to be funny now. I'm talking spirituality and I'm talking relationship. And I want people to understand that because sometimes people don't even know what religion is. So I go to school. And I'm in the school now for my master's degree in theology. Yeah. Now, I ain't left meetings. I smoke. Everything gone. I'll roll it up in my bachelor's degree. And after I smoked that, I smoked one of my associate's degree. Everything goes for $5. Because when you start geeking, you ain't got time to negotiate. You don't even have the capacity to negotiate. $5, Nick, $5. So I'm in school. And I lead a ministry. And I teach Sunday school. This is the guy that was a hoe, clean. This is the guy that was sleeping with newcomers with a lot of time, clean. This is the guy that God said, I want you to do something for me. Then when you start doing that, people start hating on that. You are the ones who told me to seek through prayer and meditation. And I still make meetings. I'm a proud member of the Women and Men About Change group of Narcotics Anonymous in the Logan section of Philadelphia. If you want to find out if circuit speakers make meetings, drop on by on a Wednesday night at 7 or come past me on a Sunday at 5 o'clock. I ain't stopped making meetings because God ain't never told me that. And when I share about my successes, I come to a meeting. And my thing is, if you can come in here crying all the time, complaining all the time, messed up all the time, drunk all the time, depressed all the time, sad all the time, he ain't doing this, she ain't doing that, how come I can't come and share joy? If I'm not mistaken, our liturgy says we live happy, joyous, and free. But some people just stop using drugs and don't begin to work the program. And they wonder why wonderful things ain't happening. And when wonderful things are happening in our lives, I was in a meeting yesterday, spiritual manipulation. Brother Joe, you just touched my soul. I was sitting there and because you can, you know the spirit when you got the spirit in you. And you know when something is of God because God is in you. Some people can't recognize him because he don't reside in them. They think that he resides in them. They got a what have you done for me lately type of relationship with God. They don't know how to just love God even when you're messed up. Even when your bills, listen, they hit me last year in November, $400-something a month for a child of mine who turned 18 years old. The mother was on welfare. I ain't know. I'm taking care of the boy. Next thing you know, I'm in child support court owing them $33,000. I went to a 4 o'clock meeting, Joe, and I said, God is still good. See, because the blessing was, I had a check that they can take $400 out of. Because did this, if you knew, this is what starts to happen. You become pregnant with possibilities. That means that you don't even know that all you have to do is just come here, buy into this a little bit. You get impregnated just a little bit, a mustard seed of faith. We talk about that when it gets up in you, it starts off small. Just like when a woman gets pregnant, it's just an egg and a seed. It ain't that big. Somebody say they're pregnant. You don't look it, but it's just small. And then all of a sudden, as you stay here, your stomach starts to grow. Now, your stomach don't necessarily have to grow like this. But I'm talking about that spiritual space inside of you starts to grow and it starts to fill up. And you become a positive possibility of what this program has to offer. And then you stay around here and you act sick for a while. And then you just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And people ain't got to get sick and tired of you. You just at some point in here, you just get sick and tired of yourself. You ever just wake up one day and look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of you. And then you just say, you know what? The second step say,
that the void that's left by the first cannot be filled with anything unspiritual. So that means no matter how many relationships I get in, no matter how many times I go to the mall, no matter how many times I do this or that, if I'm not asking God to come in and replace this void left by the drugs, the greatest love affair that I ever had in my life, which was with drugs, and when I mourned over drugs and I grieved over drugs, I needed something immediately to come in that space. So I started going shopping. I started getting women. And matter of fact, I didn't get women. I just wanted parts. Because you got to be a true man to love a true woman. And we got too many boys dressed up in men's clothes. We got too many women dressed up in, girls dressed up in women's clothing. And this is a process about making men and women. And I did all that stuff. And now you got me going to school. And you got me going somewhere where I don't even know where I'm going. But all I'm doing is just going. You ever hear him say go? And you just go? Because you know if you don't go, what the results are going to be? I don't want to be the same person that I used to be, clean or using. Dreams do come true. And I woke up at 12 years to do some different things in my life. And sometimes what happens is your friends start to spread out. The people who you thought were your friends don't want to mess with you no more. They say you're getting too spiritual. You're getting too deep. And now you messing up our triflingness. You messing up our comfortability with the defects that we've had for the last 10 years. I know I got a wife at home, but I make meetings with her. And that's all right for me. The literature tells us we are in the grip of a hopeless dilemma. The solution, which is spiritual in nature. Therefore, this book will deal with spiritual matters. But then when you buy into the spiritual aspect of our disease, then people start to bite your back out and call you spiritual. The book tells me I will become spiritual. The book tells me that I don't have to base all my stuff on the bling bling. Now, I like the bling bling. I'm going to tell you right now, if everybody looked like bums when I got here, I wouldn't have stayed here. I needed to see somebody sharp, matter of fact. When I got here, one of the things they said, and I always like to use this illustration, is that the I must die so that we can live. And I didn't understand how important that was or the deepness of that because I was clean for years by myself on my own juice, on my own message until God started talking to me. Then I started to understand what he meant or what y'all meant by the I must die so that we can live. Check it out. What I'm wearing on my feet is a pair of $600 crocodile in ostrich shoes. Cameraman, can you get that for me? Check them out. You got it? Yeah. Anyway, the point is, a crocodile and an ostrich went alive in their own natural habitats, could not coexist with each other. Because first of all, the crocodile would eat the ostrich. But when they died, the eye in each of them and became weak, they became a beautiful product. When the eye
and all of us dies, and we become a part of the we. We become a beautiful product. I ain't about pleasing nobody with my articulate skills or my vernacular ability, or because God has blessed me to be able to extract from my larynx in such a way that it's touching the other people's spirits. I am here for the new person to understand that you have to die to your old self, join up with the we, and become a new person. And it's possible up in here, and don't let nobody tell you that you can't change. Most of the people who don't believe in some of the changes in our lives are because they still stuck in 1995. Another story. Two little boys. Because I don't know how long I've been talking, and I ain't gonna talk long. They be trying to get a person to share for 80 minutes. Do you know how long 80 minutes is? That's an hour and 20 minutes. Any nigga that stand up here and talk for an hour and 20 minutes need to be in therapy. You just go ahead on, get your therapist, go to group 3 times a week, and just have a one-on-one. An hour and 20 minutes? And sometimes I used to speak for the tape. I used to want to speak long enough just so it could be enough on the tape. But I don't care if I speak 10 minutes. If it's 10 minutes of power, then that's better than an hour and 20 minutes of nothing. Because you got a whole lot of people that's opening their mouths, but they ain't saying nothing. They thinking they dropping something deep. They thinking they dropping something clever. Literature says a simple, honest message rings true. You ain't deep, nigga. And when I use that word, I know the definition. I'm not talking about a cultural thing. I'm talking about an ignorant state. Because one thing about going to school, you start learning some stuff. And you start understanding some stuff. So I don't come here to speak for the tape. Two little boys, one rich and one poor. Good friends. But the rich boy never missed the opportunity to tell the poor boy what his daddy had. So they walking down Ocean City on Coastal Highway. So the rich boy says, "Do you see that Lamborghini? Fully loaded, 24s, and they spin it. Over there in that private lot, that's my father's Lamborghini. Don't you ever forget that." And they walked a little further, and they looked over there on the Atlantic Ocean, and he says, "Do you see that yacht out there with everything on it? TVs on every deck, microwave, refrigerator. You could just live on there if you wanted to. That's my father's yacht. Don't you ever forget that." So then they walking a little bit more. Now they ain't got no hills in Ocean City. Unless I ain't seen none, but this, just imagine, there was this big house on this hill. 20-something bedrooms, 10 bathrooms, couple swimming pools, front yard, backyard, tennis court, basketball court, like Hammer, bowling alley in the crib. Yeah, because Hammer broke. And see that house? That's my father's house. And don't you forget that. So the poor boy, he was off just for a moment. Then the spirit hit him. He said, "Wait a minute. Let's start this walk all over again." So they go back. And he said, "Do you see that lane that your father's Lamborghini is sitting on, that if my daddy just breathed down here one time, he could just crack the earth, sink your father's car? Well, that ground belonged to my father. Don't you ever forget that. Do you see that ocean that your daddy's boat is sitting on, that if my father just breathed one time, he can bring up a wave 20-something foot long, crack your father's yacht to make it the size of toothpicks? That's my daddy's water. Don't you ever forget that. Do you see that hill that your father's house is sitting on, that if my father just breathed on it, just break it, and your father's house will come crashing down? That's my father's house. He mad because he don't like you talking about the daddy. He don't like you talking about the father. So he come in any kind of way. You know, the spirit is wicked. He'll cut off a microphone. But I'm going to tell you, he said, that's my father's house. And don't you ever forget that. I keep coming back. Thank you. Woo!